This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Things that like triggers for me, Carl knows, I start to twitch and I get like, and there's one, whether it's umpires, Hall of Fame balloting, the strike zone, and then of course there is this, the Rose Bowl.
It's Radio 92.9 The Game.
Been dragging their feet. For those not getting the info, it's been dragging their feet for decades. They were the big impediment. And finally, as we heard from Brad Nessler, they were like, literally, this thing's rolling. We're on the tracks. You're either with us, you're in the boat, or you're not.
Well, listen, you to be alone, right, in that circumstance, like, hey, yeah, we're the Rose Bowl. We're going to do it ourselves. It's not going to work. It's just not it was not a survivable situation for them financially or in their best interest. So they are on board, which means we get college football playoff expansion. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks again to Bryant McFadden for joining us, talking about this Kyler Murray situation. Hey, real quick, before we get into some of the top stories, Mike, and then we're going to hear from Shane Beamer coming up here in about 10 minutes, who joined the Steakhouse, talking about their season. He did an amazing job, but also talking about the SEC championship with LSU and Georgia coming up on Saturday. Quick reminder, tomorrow we're at Twin Peaks Buckhead. Come on out and join us. We'll be out there from 2 until 7. Andy and Randy before us hanging out as well. Does this make you like or dislike Kyler Murray more or less?
Well, I mean, this year, as we said, we're talking with BMAC, the Russell Wilson stuff. Now, look, yes, you wish this stuff would come out while the guy's on the team, but it all seemed to come out from guys that used to play with him. Then there were guys that are in the NFL, and there's the guys in Seattle. Then you're going to realize it. I always thought Pete Carroll was the idiot in that equation, and he was, why are you trying to run out the best quarterback you've had since, you know, Jim Zorn? And now you realize that maybe Russell was the problem, and there was a dynamic where guys in that locker room had it up to here. It just seems like there was so much smoke around Kyler Murray before that contract got signed. And as Brian alluded to, why do you have to put language in that treats him like a child?
Yeah.
If you know, which they later took out, but still.
Forced to take out because of the backlash.
But you begin to realize that, you know, maybe these guys, there's a lack of maturity or a lack of, you know, or you know, we want our guys, I think, as we said, quarterbacks to whom much is given, much is expected. You're the leader. And sometimes that role, like Matt Ryan, he's a leader, but he's not going to be the rah, rah, rah guy. He leads by example. But we knew that Matt, you know, in the second half of his career, became that voice in the locker room. But in this case, you begin to wonder, when you got a disconnect between your head coach and your quarterback, and people are starting to pop off now about Kyler Murray, you got a dysfunctional organization. And that's when guys get fired. Because a player can't get fired, he's under contract.
Yeah, the interesting thing, the backstory, backstory, we don't have time for this today, but in Seattle, Mike, to your point, John Schneider's the general manager. When the Patrick Mahomes draft came around, they were trying to draft him. And everybody, a few people found out. This is prior to, you know, Russell getting his extension in Seattle. And part of the reason why he got that extension was because his agent found out that Seattle was thinking about trying to trade him, and they were going to draft Patrick Mahomes. And the point is, this goes back a lot further than just the last few years. And so there was always tension, and then Russell, you know, he just played the part. But, yeah, I think
and then his agent
right.
put it out there. We got a – well, there's a wish list for Russell.
Yeah, because they were trying to change the narrative.
But it was impossible. They couldn't move him. The contract made it impossible. But the thing is
– that was after the extension.
But I didn't want it to go so far because they made Russell Wilson sound like he was Trent Dilfer with the Ravens. And he's not. I mean, this guy went for 30 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, and he's rushed for hundreds and hundreds of yards. So it wasn't like he was just going along for the ride with the Legion of Boom. But you're beginning to realize he became – I blame Sierra, but he just became this thing that had an ego apparently as big as a great outdoors, and everyone was happy to see him split.
It's curious. We'll see what happens, because I do think there'll be some heads that roll in Denver, because you can't continue like this with Nathaniel Hackett.
You got to fire the coach. You got to get rid of him.
And then we'll see what happens with Kyler Murray and now Cliff Kingsbury. By the way, they have the same agent, if you didn't know that, which is interesting in its own right, because that was part of, oh, they want to be together and all of this. Okay, good luck. Hey, John Collins, left ankle sprain. DeAndre Hunter, right thigh soreness. They did not continue last night in the game in the win over Orlando. We're keeping an eye out on those guys because tomorrow the Nuggets are in town at State Farm Arena. Pre-game's at 7, tips at 7:30. We'll talk to Steve Kuhn, Hawks CEO, tomorrow more about the injuries and seeing what's going on. But we don't need this. The point is we don't need guys to be out, Mike, 3-4 games and have these lingering injuries. Hopefully the left ankle sprain is not that severe, and DeAndre Hunter's right thigh soreness is just that, a little sore but enough to play.
Right, and wasn't trying to jinx it, but this is something which, you know, it cropped up last year. And one of the big, you know, the debating or sticking points when we debated – DeAndre Hunter over, you know, Red Velvet and committing to one guy and giving him the money, is DeAndre Hunter going to stay healthy? So let's hope this is just simply a, you know, a blip on the radar screen and he'll be back. Still waiting to hear when Bogey's coming back. How many practice shots can this man take before Bogey finally gets out there on the floor, Carl?
Yeah.
Last night, Trey was dynamic. DeJounte was dynamic. The thing is, you're playing a bad Magic team, but this was the kind of superstar backcourt we were expecting to see more than we have this season, to be honest.
Absolutely. There's no doubt. This is what we are paying for and hoping to see week in and week out. Falcons preparing for the Steelers, guys, and there's some NFL news. One of the stories we're following is off the field. The other one is, you know, what's going on tonight. We've got Thursday night football, Mike. You said it earlier. Big game, Patriots and Bills, and now we find out that Von Miller is on the IR.
Yeah, and that's huge. You know, you think about, they got a good young defense. They got guys like Russo, and they got dudes, but this guy took the whole unit to another level because everybody's got to account for Von Miller. So that's big. Von Miller being out, and as you heard Brian McFadden say, something just hasn't been right with Josh Allen. Too many turnovers, mistakes, going all the way back to the strangeness of that Vikings game. So a team that we were just, remember the narrative was, well, this year Patrick Mahomes has to go to Buffalo.
That's right.
It doesn't. Now, no. Right now Buffalo still got to go to Kansas City if they win out.
You're right. That's a big one. Off the field, we were following this story earlier, and during our Brian McFadden interview, Bo mentioned to us that apparently there was a standoff trying to arrest Antonio Brown. There was an arrest warrant issued today in Tampa. If you're not familiar with the story, events happened on November 28th in the afternoon when Brown and a woman were involved in a verbal altercation at his home in South Tampa, and then the argument became physical. Brown threw a shoe at the victim, attempted to evict the woman from the house, locking her out. There's more to the story. So today there was an arrest warrant. And, Bo, what did you say? What was going on? What was the latest?
From what I've read, there seems to be some kind of standoff that they've tried multiple times to take him into custody, and they have not been able to. And so it's kind of – I saw this on MSN, so it wasn't like a, you know, random thing. But there's some type of standoff. It doesn't seem like a one that is – overly dangerous, where there's, you know, weapons involved and stuff. It just seems like he's unwilling to
come out
of the house.
Yeah. Right.
So
he apparently, it's the mother of four of his children threw a shoe at her when the cops got there. There were some reports earlier from the Tampa Bay Times, is that the paper, was saying that he had threatened gun violence, but that was later retracted. But either way, it sounds like there's some kind of a communication breakdown between TPD and Antonio Brown.
Yeah, and Mike, we've said this. Listen, it's easy to kill him in this moment, simply, and I say that I'm not using the word kill in that way. I'm saying,
right,
you know, take shots at him, all right, and put him in a place or, you know, demean him in a way that you say he's an idiot. We know that. We felt this way for a long time. Mike and I have said it on the show. You know, the latest with him has been these pictures he's been posting with Giselle, you know, the pictures of him and Giselle to take shots at Tom Brady. And all of that stuff wasn't funny, but this dude has a lot going on, and everybody kept saying, oh, he's too talented. He'll get back in the league. No, he's not. No, he's not.
And as we said, it's just sad because the guy, you know, when his name was Mud, Tom Brady, like whatever you think about Tom Brady, he didn't do Antonio Brown wrong.
Nope.
He brought him back in the fold. He gave him a place to live, helped get his career back on track, and the way the guy like Antonio Brown repays it is by doing the kind of childish things he's been doing on social media. But again, his life has just been one sad episode after another, and you hope he gets the help he needs, man. Him and Kanye.
Coming up, Shane Beamer. He went on the Steakhouse and had a lot to say about his season, but more importantly, what he thinks about the SEC championship game, Georgia and LSU. Trying to bring you all the aspects, Mike, of the SEC championship game. And Shane Beamer, he was on Georgia's staff, left to take the South Carolina game. Listen, he's not the coach of the year. I think you got to give it to Kirby Smart, going back-to-back years undefeated. Mm-hmm. But he's done a hell of a job, Mike.
I mean, you could argue that, you know, one of the coaches that, you know, you think about Tennessee and you think about that job. But this guy, to beat Tennessee and to beat Clemson back-to-back, yeah, they had some road games they maybe should have won. But Shane Beamer's changed the culture up there.
He went on the Steakhouse with Steak Shapiro. Steak asked him first thing is, how have the past few days been, considering you beat Clemson?
Pretty wild. Obviously, great day for our program and all Gamecocks everywhere. I know how important that rivalry is. So to be able to win that game up there the way we did was pretty awesome. And it's been a whirlwind. You know, there's no no doubt about it. With text messages and congratulatory calls and just a lot of excitement and a lot of buzz about South Carolina football right now, and rightfully so.
Coach, I don't think anybody can understand the amount of text messages and people you have to, you know, set aside to have interaction on your schedules every day. Your phone constantly goes off all day. I've been around head coaches. I know what you guys go through. When you got home Sunday night or Saturday night, when you sat down at your house and you thought we just beat Clemson at Clemson, what was that moment like for you and your family?
It was pretty wild. You know, I mean, it's just it's such a whirlwind. Obviously, being able to celebrate up there on the field and in the locker room, those are the special moments that you live for. And then, you know, it's not a plane trip, so you're able to get on buses and bus back to Columbia, and that was an awesome bus ride, sharing that with the team and staff. And then to get back to Columbia, and we had an unbelievably huge crowd here at our football facility to greet us when we got back. That was pretty awesome. And then, you know, the trophy for the game, the Palmetto Trophy, ended up in my office. So I'm like, well, heck, let me just take it home with me. So to take that home with me and just sit around the house on Saturday night and celebrate as a family with the trophy right there with us was pretty cool.
Shane Beamer with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. I think there's a lesson to be learned always in sports, but particularly your team. Certainly it took it on the chin a couple of times. Against Kirby, you had a really rough week against Florida the week before. You know, you didn't score an offensive touchdown against the Gators. And then you proceed to play two top 10 teams, score close to 100 points, break a 40-game winning streak at home by Clemson, and then overwhelm Tennessee with 60 points. This coming off of probably your worst Saturday of the year against Florida. How do you get your team? What did you believe in and know that we didn't know? Because that turnaround was really spectacular.
Yeah, no, it was. It's college athletics, man, and you guys know it. It's week to week, and I knew as bad as we looked against Florida, you know, I knew we weren't that bad, if that makes sense. And we certainly needed to be a lot better against Florida than what we were. But also, I mean, we're we didn't play great in the first half, but we the first four plays of the second half against Florida, we turned the ball over on three of them. I mean, we went three straight fumbles to start series in the second half, backed up in our own territory. And when you do that, the score is going to get out of whack. And Florida played really well that night. And I remember telling our team in the locker room after the game that all right, this one was awful, but you know what? We got a good team. We got good players in here. And now we got an opportunity. I know you're supposed to only talk kind of like week to week, but I talk big picture in the locker room after the Florida game that we have an opportunity the next 2 weeks with who we're playing, two top 10 teams, to completely change everything, you know, with this program. And I think in this profession as the head coach, you can't get too high. You can't get too low. It's a long season, and you just try and stay consistent and stay steady and just try and get better each week. And that's what we did. And then we really sold just the competition part of it. We talk about competition all the time here in our program, and the way that Tennessee plays defense, and then our game plan defensively against Tennessee's offense, there were going to be a lot of competitive one-on-one battles between the receivers, tight ends, defensive backs on both sides, and running backs and linebackers and O-line and D-line. And we just sold the heck out of competition, and we won our share of those for sure against Tennessee and against Clemson both.
Spencer Rattler, coach, went off against Tennessee. He had an early pick six right there against Clemson, obviously came back, made some big-time throws. The athletic run for the touchdown there in the red zone. What did you see out of him? I know you know he's got a tremendous high ceiling. What did you see out of him in game when you watch tape? It's like, that's why everybody has their eye on Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, he's just one. He's so accurate, you know, especially on the deep ball. He can move out of the pocket. I mean, he threw a he threw a ball on Saturday to Juice Wells for a touchdown, where we, you know, design rolled out of the pocket that he couldn't have gone 40, 50 yards downfield and placed it in Juice's hands any better. He's just so accurate on the deep ball. He's a better athlete than people give him credit for. And then on top of anything, it's just the mental toughness and the resiliency that he has. I mean, he, you know, he took a lot of crap this year and never let it affect him, just continued to work. He's a great teammate here in our program. He's a great young man, and he really works. You know, he's one of those guys, if you give him something, hey, you're not quite where you need to be on this. I mean, he works his butt off to get it right, and really proud of him and happy that it showed in the games, because I'd been seeing that in practice all year, and then for whatever reason, it just wasn't, you know, it just wasn't showing up every single Saturday. And the stats may not be where he wanted it to be, but again, I mean, even before we beat Tennessee and Clemson, he had done a lot of great things. Beat Texas A&M for the first time ever here at Carolina, and beat Kentucky and Lexington for the first time since 2012, and had us nationally ranked for the first time since 2017. So Spencer had done some great things already, regardless of stats, but certainly the way he played the last couple of weeks really took it to another level.
Shane Beamer with us, South Carolina head coach, winners of back-to-back top 10 opponents, one of the great runs an SEC team has had in years, and he, of course, helped orchestrate it. Let me ask you, we'll talk about Kirby and working with him and then working with Lincoln Riley, but I do want to talk to you about your dad, because what is it, a tangible advantage for growing up as the son of one of the most beloved college football and most revered college football coaches of all time? Is there, through osmosis and through more tangible stuff that you take being a part of the Beamer family, that your dad has instilled on you? What's something that a listener can hear and understand from that?
Yeah, you know, great question. Certainly in the different realms that I've been in growing up as his son, the good, the bad, all that. I think the biggest thing that just still resonates with me is just what a really thin line it is between winning and losing. And it's hard to win football games at this level. And, you know, my dad's 6th year at Virginia Tech, they went 2-8-1, they led or tied 6 games in the fourth quarter, and they just couldn't get over the hump. And then the next year they won 9, won the Independence Bowl, and the rest is history back in 1993. So I think that's the biggest thing, is just it's hard to win football games, and he always says this: things are never as good as they seem, things are never as bad as they seem. They're somewhere in the middle. And that probably really helped me after we lost to Florida. You know, things, you know, weren't as bad as maybe it seemed. They're a little bit better than that. And then just the consistency that he has is not just a coach, but dad, husband, all that. But seeing that as a head coach, you know, he never got too high, too low. And that's the one quality that I hope I've taken from him. You know, I'm probably a little bit more emotional on the sidelines than he is, but at least in the day-to-day interactions here in this program, I hope I've taken that consistency that he had and have been able to, you know, use that as a head coach now.
Coach, I heard Sam Pittman say this: there is absolutely no training for sitting in that seat that you are now, the head coach of South Carolina, until you actually sit in it. You had a chance to work for Lincoln Riley and Kirby Smart, two guys very, very successful on the collegiate level. What did you learn from each one of those guys to take into your day-to-day job now as the head coach of South Carolina?
Yeah, you know, I was really fortunate for a lot of reasons to be able to work for those guys. But, you know, Lincoln, when I was at Oklahoma, Lincoln's younger than me, and I wasn't there his very first season, but I was there like his real first full season, because, you know, he didn't get the head coaching job till June. Yep. And then he hired me in February or January, I guess. But being able to just see a first time head coach and how he handled that. But then just being able to be exposed to his offense and in a different way of doing things was really beneficial. And I took so much from Kirby, and that was just so beneficial for me because he was a first-time head coach walking into a new program on day one. So it wasn't like he had been there for 3 years and then he hired me. Sam and Mel Tucker and I mean, we came in on day one with him, and I was able to see, you know, the decisions he made, why he made them. I mean, I'm so so fortunate for those 2 years in Athens and everything that I learned from Kirby. And, you know, people, they do a great job recruiting. That's obvious, but they got great coaches, and you watch them on Saturdays. Like, you not only have to play against their great players, but you have to do a great job coaching, because they do a great job on game days of adjusting and making things really difficult on opponents. But, you know, I've taken things from every coach that I've worked for, you know, whether it be those two guys or Steve Spurrier or my dad or Sylvester Croom or Phil Fulmer or George O'Leary back when I started there in Atlanta back in 2000 as a GA.
Oh, wow.
But of all those places, you know, there's a lot of things that I've taken from Kirby and my time in Athens, and really thankful for that time.
Finishing up with Shane Beamer of the WadeFord.com hotline. Give me 30 seconds, because we're going to rock and roll. SEC championship game. Obviously, Georgia, another fantastic season. LSU coming in. Give me quick thoughts on that game and how LSU, you can try to stay in this football game.
Yeah, it should be a great game. Obviously, more familiar with Georgia being in the East, and I've seen Florida a little bit on crossover film, getting ready to play Tennessee and Florida. We saw LSU. Obviously, LSU's got really good players and got an athletic quarterback, and they can score points. They've shown that. Remarkable, not remarkable, but so much respect for what Georgia's done to lose all those players and be back in the same position and undefeated when you know every single week you're going to get every team's best shot. So, fantastic year by Georgia and really talented LSU team they got coming in there that I know that'll be excited to be there.
That's our boy, man. And he said it, yeah, back when he was a GA. We talked about it with Shane a few months ago.
Yeah.
Good dude, man. He was working at George O'Leary. He's a good kid. Man, maybe a coach someday. Like, oh, man. Hey, man, tonight's game winner, it's pretty simple. We were talking earlier today about Brian McFadden controversy. Patrick Peterson basically saying Kyler Murray only cares about Kyler Murray, which brings us to, and I'll go up, put it out there, a guy you thought was a fraud or a phony. You just didn't buy the public image. Kind of like Shooter McGavin, you know. 404-741-0929. I'm going to go with Jeff George.
Ooh.
Yeah, Jeff George. I've told that story that Bobby Hebert has told us a few times about how Bobby gave him some tips for leadership in the locker room and how this is how you get guys to rally around you, and Jeff didn't want to have it, and then Bobby wanted to go kick his ass in the woods. 404-741-0929. A player you just thought, yeah, that guy's not the real McCoy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
All right, man, I don't know what Kyler Murray is. I sure know what guys have to say about Russell Wilson, and it ain't good. It continues to be a story out in Denver, which brings us to guys that you thought, you know, I'm not buying his act. Some cases, and I'll give you an example, Steve Garvey. When I was a kid, the Dodgers were money.
Yeah.
Steve Garvey was a guy that was kind of like, you know, that chiseled look, and he was like the All-American Family guy. And this guy was running around on his wife so much when he went to the San Diego Padres, they had bumper stickers that said, Steve Garvey's not my Padre. He had so many kids out of wedlock.
I remember that.
So that's one of those dudes that when we spoke with Dusty Baker and I told him about my dad going to Garvey, hey, Garvey, crappy autograph. Give my son a better autograph.
give him a better look.
And apparently, according to some of the things we heard, that yeah, Steve was not necessarily liked in that clubhouse. Outside
there. Don Mattingly is a guy for me, Mike. And listen, this doesn't have as much to do with the purposely hitting Ronald Acuna over the years,
right?
But just Don Mattingly as a manager and as a person, the way he's gone about his business, never been a believer. Right. Fraud!
I'm with you. So there you go, guys. That's tonight's game winner. Don't forget, we're going to be over at Twin Peaks in Buckhead tomorrow, the entire middays and afternoons, Randy and Day, and then we'll be there as well from 2 to 7. Who's up first? Nick. Hey, man, what you got for us tonight, brother?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
First, I want to say, love Hey, Man, Ale. It always goes down smooth. It's perfect for a hot Georgia Saturday. Loved it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Outstanding.
It is good.
And for my take tonight, I got one that I never understood why we spent such a high draft pick on this guy, Vic Beasley. But hey, let's get a win this weekend. Go Falcons.
Right. Good call. The thing with Vic is, and it's, look, he's good, good. Not like he's a bad person, but it just seemed like his passion for football was always kind of a question. You know?
Yeah.
A real desire. Yeah. He loved the sport.
Well, listen. One good season doesn't make a Hall of Fame career. He did help us get to the Super Bowl. But just the lost potential of what it could have been.
Right.
That's the problem.
I remember Dan Quinn put it out there. He was willing to work, and he didn't want to work with him. You know, that was the thing.
He should have never picked up his fifth year option.
I'm with you. Well, they learned that, and they learned that was what Tackett didn't get his picked up. Hey, man, who's up next? Sweet. Hey, buddy boy, what do you got for a guy you never really bought into his act?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Even though he's in the Hall of Fame, Juan Marichal for hitting John Roseboro over the head with his bat.
Yeah, that's one of the great throwdowns in baseball history. And they talked about it. It was a little bit of Juan Marichal in the Willie Mays documentary, which is amazing. But Juan Marichal, I mean, the high leg kick, he had swagger. And maybe Roseboro was asking for it, Carl.
Yeah, that's the taboo of baseball. You can never bring a bat to a fight like that.
No.
But, yeah, it was ugly, but that is a moment. Yeah. He's right.
And back then, those guys wore caps. They didn't wear helmets.
That's right.
Behind the dish. Who's up next? Less is more. Less, you're in the game, man. What you got?
Hey, brothers, I hope you both are doing well. Man, I have two of them, one that hits close to home and then one not so much. The first one is Mark Teixeira. I don't know what it is about this guy. I just do not like him.
Yeah.
The second one is Matt Barnes, the biggest wannabe tough guy on the planet.
Good pull. Two good pulls.
I would pay top dollar to see either one of those guys get punched in the face.
I can't disagree with you on that one, man. Teixeira, I'm 100%. There's just something about it.
One of the best videos you'll ever see is Matt Barnes' attempt to punk Kobe out.
Right.
He's taking the ball from out of bounds, and he literally acts as if he's going to throw a full chest pass to Kobe's face. Kobe doesn't blink. It's a great video. And it just is one of those moments where you go, okay, real tough guy, fake tough guy. But it was kind of funny. If you ever want to go look it up, it's a great video, Matt Barnes.
And I know that the thing with Mark Teixeira, for folks who don't follow the drift on this, I know he played baseball at Georgia Tech, and maybe there's something to do more with the agent, but the inference was when you made the trade, he was going to stay here in Atlanta, and it didn't happen.
True. True.
Similar to what happened when you made the trade with Dominique, and don't get me started. Who's up next? By the way, the guys behind the glass are going to be kicking some ass on the air tonight. They'll get you ready for a big game, New England and Buffalo. It's on Amazon on the TV, but we'll have it for you here on the game.
I'm leaning Buffalo, Mike, because I just think they're in more of a must-win situation. New England, listen, they're in it, but they're blah. I just don't know if they can score enough points tonight. I'm going to go Buffalo. I'm not talking about the spread. I'm just saying I like Buffalo in the game.
It is 3.5. What you got, Chris? Kelly, hey, Kelly, an athlete, you just never bought it. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, I got ice cold take here. John Cena's got to be an awful human being if Nikki Bella would. He was happy to leave him. Happy to leave him, I'm telling you what.
John Cena.
The Peacekeeper is a phony. Huh?
Yeah. Wow. I love The Peacekeer. The show is great.
Peacemaker. That's one of the best. That is such a good show.
Yes. Sorry about that. You got me saying no, it is. It is very funny.
Hey, we got to have a new – it's probably going to be coming out again soon, right? It's been almost a year.
I would hope. I didn't think I'd like it, Bo. First episode, I'm crying, and I was just sold. So.
The intro to it with her dance, and they do this weird dance. I watch that every time because it's funny.
Great job, guys. Let's get out of here and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, join us tomorrow. Twin Peaks, one of our favorite guys, Brian Jones, is going to stop by to talk some college football with this SEC championship. Also, thanks to all of our guests today. If you missed any of them, including Youngway Koo from our Falcons, it's online at Odyssey.com. Went behind enemy lines thanks to Chris Adamski from Pittsburgh, and also Brad Nessler, guys, Brian McFadden as well, all this stuff. If you want to go check it out at Odyssey.com. Hey, Chris, good to have you back. Great job as always. Tomorrow, Twin Peaks, 2 o'clock, right after Andy and Randy get done. We'd love to see you in the Buckhead location. Bo Morgan, executive producing. Stick around. Guys behind the glass will take you all the way up to pregame of the start of the Buffalo-New England game. All right, Mike Bell. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, you know I go crazy about the umpires in the strike zone because it's been a damn mystery over the years, and we got all the technology. They use it with that Cyclops in tennis. They used VAR today to help Japan get a win over Germany, one of the biggest upsets in World Cup history, and they advanced. The Germans are out. Oh, that can't be good. Millions of Germans unhappy. But anyway, they're very happy in Japan because Germany didn't score enough goals to beat Costa Rica, so they're in. And Carl, a ball that looked like it was out of bounds, they go to the video, by a sliver. Ball stays inbounds. You're able to complete the play and get the goal. Technology, it works around the world. We just don't use it here in America for baseball.
Tom Herman won't be the first. He won't be the last to go rebuild his head coaching career. He's the new coach, Mike, at Florida Atlantic.
Oh.
Yeah, he replaces Willie Taggart. And can we say this now? Willie Taggart's not a good coach. He had his opportunities. He got a shot. Then he got another shot. And now he's been fired again. But let's talk about Tom Herman for a second. Because when he got the Texas job, everybody said, he's the right guy. And it didn't work out. So now he finds himself in a Lane Kiffin situation. Go in there. Another job will open up in a few years. And more than likely, Mike, he'll be back in a Power 5 school before you can blink your eyes. Hey, Coach Herman, good luck. Hey, if you love the show.
You tell your friends.
If you don't.
You're going to miss out on the powerhouse that is Squid and Chris. Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.